Ash Wednesday. It is Ash Wednesday.
Not just any Wednesday, but Ash Wednesday.
My cross is crooked, said Jesus.
Christian Kuhn came in earlier and gave the sinners amongst us ashes on their forehead. And yours are very well pronounced. Your ashes are very dark.
A good sign of the cross for me.
Yes.
UrbanVillageChurch.org. Go to the blog page and it'll list...
for all your Ashley needs.
From noon to one, he's doing like a lunchtime express.
Yes.
And then again, I think from five to six.
Ashapalooza. Just one of the many names that I sent in that got rejected quickly.
I'm surprised because...
Yeah, it seems like they'd want to update the name a little bit. Ash Wednesday's fine, but you're Ashapalooza. You go, I'm in. I want in. But no, they said no. They couldn't help me.
I cannot eat meat today. I've reminded everyone in my family.
Oh, that's right. So does Lent officially start? Is this the beginning of Lent today?
Yeah, there's Fat Tuesday, as you'd like to call it.
Big boned.
That's Big Bone Tuesday, and then Ash Wednesday is the next day, and so begins the Lenten season.
Until?
Easter Sunday.
Until Easter Sunday.
So no meat on Friday or...
No meat today?
Today.
Or any of the four
Fridays.
Upcoming Fridays.
Yeah, oh boy.
Right?
I hope there's no St. Patrick's Day, because you do get special dispensation. Oh no, that's on a Sunday. No worries.
But what about, Wendy, for Christmas I got you the Stroganoff of the Month Club, and that always arrives on a Friday. What are you going to do?
I'm going to wait till Saturday.
Oh, I guess you could wait a day. Yeah.
You did set me up with some Omaha steaks that were pretty fantastic.
Not on Friday. It's stamped right on them.
Oh, I already
ate them. Do not eat on Friday during Lent.
They were in the freezer.
Stamp.
And they're pretty darned good. I had never had an Omaha steak
before.
Oh,
yes.
So thank you for that.
They're tasty. Very tasty. I do recommend that you cook them.
I haven't slept in your sheets yet, though.
No.
You recommend they cook them. Can I just tell you what it says on the back of a frozen pizza? Like, file this under duh.
What does it say?
It says...
Cook before eating?
Yes.
That means that one time a guy didn't know that, and he tried to eat a frozen pizza, and he got sick, and their lawyers went, all right, from here on in, because of Jerry, we have to put on the back... Please cook before eating. Thank you, Jerry.
I can't believe it said that.
Yeah.
I made chicken Kiev last night. Do you know what those are? I love those.
It's like an oblong-sized chicken that has cheese inside of it.
No, butter and herb.
Oh, what's the one? Oh, it's
cordon bleu.
Chicken cordon bleu has the cheese.
Chicken, they're...
It's what in it? It's butter and what else? Butter
chives.
And chives. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's the best thing.
Yeah.
It's very high caloric, but sometimes you need it with rice pilaf and broccoli and cauliflower.
Tasty.
And it's an easy dinner to make. You throw it in the oven. But a lot of times the stuff oozes out of it, and that's depressing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have no guarantee of gushing is what I call it. You may not get any gush. They did. Mm-hmm. It worked. It was a really nice night, but that says that you have to make sure there's an internal temperature of, I think, 165 degrees. Check your listing. I don't want anybody to get sick because chicken needs to be cooked all the way. But there's no way you can stick your meat thermometer in there because if you do, you'll get burnt.
It'll pop out all over the place. Ah.
So I'm looking at it going, I am going a couple minutes beyond the time that it says, but I can't stick my thermometer in there.
It'll ruin it.
It would have burned me in my eye.
You'd have been killed.
Yeah, I know.
My favorite warning, and I used to do this as a kid, and I don't recommend, if there's kids listening, please don't do this.
They're not.
Please don't do this.
Thank you, Art.
But on every bag you ever get, if you go to the dry cleaner and you have dry cleaning done, they give you, your shirt comes back in a bag, and the bag says on it, this is not a toy. And my favorite thing to do would be to play with it and then ask my mom if it was, is this a toy? And she would say, it clearly says right on. Oh,
she like was she would, so cute.
It would always catch her like midway through that I was messing with her as I put the bag over my almost head. This is a toy, right? No, it says on the bag it's not. Oh, you. That was just a good game we used to play.
I loved your mother, and your mother had a great sense of humor, but I don't know how she didn't kill you and your
brother. Boy, that's a good question, isn't it? I don't know how we survived because at some point you would say, she's going to snap.
She loved you guys so much.
Unconditionally.
I mean, That is the true definition of it. You know how they say, oh, a dog is great because they love you unconditionally? They really don't if you don't have a treat in your pocket or something.
Right.
Your mom loved you guys unconditionally, and you did a bunch of crap.
Yeah, on a daily basis. The only comparison I can make, and I hope this is a fair comparison, and I'll explain the reference. I even mentioned this. I spoke at my mom's funeral when my mom died, and I said, in my head, the same relationship that the three Marx brothers had to Margaret Dumont. Do you remember who she was? The older socialite-looking woman that was in almost all the Marx brothers movies. You always had... No, she was not the tattooed lady.
Okay.
She was always, you know...
Buxom? Big? Like 6 foot tall?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
What they used to call back then a thick woman.
A handsome
woman? I don't
think...
No, she was not a handsome woman, but she was a...
She looked like Lurch in a dress. Kind of.
Yeah, I guess.
A little prettier.
No, she was prettier than Lurch.
Yeah, but I mean, she honestly was probably 6 feet tall very buxom.
Yeah,
she was broad.
Yep.
All right, yes, anyway, I know what you were talking about.
In much the same, the plot of almost every Marx Brothers movie has Groucho, Harpo, and Chico messing with Margaret Dumont. That was kind of the same dynamic at my house with my brother, my dad, and myself. I really felt like it was almost identical to what was in the movies. There was a lot of eye rolling, a lot of woo. You know, like at some point in the movie, when the Marx Brothers would do something, she would turn her head and she would make a big theatrical exit.
Yeah.
That was like my mom on a daily basis as we tried her patience consistently from the time she woke up until she went to bed every night.
I feel like I've taken her place in my house because I have the two boys and
you're Jim. The Margaret Dumont of your family. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sick of it. Your mom never got sick of it.
No, she reveled in it.
I know.
She enjoyed it.
I wish she was still around to coach me how to do it.
I don't understand it.
I don't either, Bill.
The
things you say that you did and she, what'd your mom do? She just bought us more candies and containers.
That was, and you, like a psychologist, like if Dr. John Duffy was here and we told him all the things we did to my mom on a daily basis, and then we were rewarded. Well, he would say, well, that's a sick dynamic because she's just rewarding errant behavior. What's wrong with her? But no, it worked somehow. It really did. The best one that I remember, I was thinking about this the other day, was my brother and I wanted to play hockey in our bedroom, so we took some of that stuff that you would usually polish your furniture with, and we polished...
Pledge or end dust?
Yeah, it was one of those. It was Pledge or end dust. I don't remember which one, but we each took a container of it, one of those spray containers, and we sprayed down the carpeting in our bedroom, and just by taking your shoes off and having socks, it was like ice skating on the carpet.
How did it make the carpeting slippery?
I can't figure out what
would have
been.
You didn't have, like, wood floors or something? Because that would have been crazy.
No, we had shag carpeting in every room.
And the car.
Bright red, yes. And the wall. We had the bright red shag carpeting. So we figured out the right formula was we'd spray it down, and then you take your shoes off. You just had your socks on. And you could slide and glide, and it was just like playing hockey. So then we brought hockey sticks up and a puck, and we set up goals. And then we didn't tell her about it. And then when she came in to bring laundry in, you had one of those cartoon moments that you see in the comic books where she's falling backwards and moving her arms.
Yeah.
And there's lines around her arms as she's falling backwards onto the ice, or as she liked to call it, carpet, you know?
Right.
And she fell and she said some words that
she never swore, did
she?
No, she
swore, but these were words she... Because her parents were Slovenian, she knew some Slovenian, so she said something in Slovenian that I know was a swear word. I don't know what it meant. Like, I'm trying to remember how it went. I can't remember the sound of it now, but she used to have these words that we knew were Slovenian swear words, and that's when things got bad, if she was swearing at us in Slovenian.
Mom.
There was a version of... Remember when, like, you never had nuns, but a lot of times if you made a nun upset, they would say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a Slovenian equivalent of that, like, Jesus, Maria, something that was Slovenian for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And we knew if it ever came to that, we had gone too far. That was the cutoff line of, I'll put up with this, but as soon as this, and I say this in Slovenian, yeah.
Okay, but then you'd stop for just that day. It would continue.
Not even the day. Oh, maybe an hour. And then it was back to hijinks. Because we didn't want to lull her into a false sense of security. Like, well, now my boys will behave themselves. We didn't want any of that.
I can't get it. This is like slipping on ice.
Like that as she's trying to, I can still remember it because she was trying to get her balance and you're reaching for things in the air that aren't there right. to grab onto.
Yeah.
Did you ever see in Psycho when I think it's Martin Balsam who falls down the staircase and they do this shot of him where it's you see him falling backwards and he's trying to get his balance.
Yeah, yeah.
It was exactly that. It was shot for shot.
Poor thing.
Yes, yes.
And she still cleaned your laundry and dropped it off in your room.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, I don't get it. That's unconditional love. If you wonder what it is, that's exactly what it is.
Unconditional love?
It was unconditional love on a daily basis.
Not many people can say that about their moms.
No, I don't think so. You didn't have any of that?
My mom loved me, but she, you know, would tell other people that, not me.
She never told you?
She had to have told you. Like, she told me she loved me on my wedding day, which made me sad because she was battling cancer at the time. So then I thought, oh, this is it. Because she's saying, I love you now. And there was maybe one other time.
Did you, as soon as she said those words, did you tear up immediately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever ask her? Did you ever go, how come you never say that?
No, because my grandmother was kind of like that, like aloof.
Yeah.
My mom was much like my grandmother, aloof and aunt, my mom's sister, mm-hmm. aunt, mm-hmm. she was the huggy, lovey, I love you one, much like my grandfather.
It's very strange how there are some people who will say it all the time.
Yep.
And I don't know that waters it down. I just think that they think it and they say it. I know that's with me, with my kids. I don't think I ever go 20 minutes without reminding them that I love them. And they go, we know. But, you know, and they love me back, they say.
My son Michael asked me, because we are all in this routine now where, like, whenever we call each other, it's like, okay, love you, goodbye.
Yeah.
And Michael says, it just comes naturally. Does that mean we don't mean it? And I said, no.
No, it doesn't mean that.
And I quite honestly, after not hearing it a lot, you can't hear it too much.
Right, right.
There's no way, you know, somebody would just go, I know.
Yeah, right.
So I say it loud and say it proud.
My mom's father, I don't think, ever said it.
And that was a different time then. My grandma liked that, too.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, my grandfather came from Italy. My grandmother was born in Cicero.
The Italy of Illinois.
Yeah. I mean, her parents were born in Italy, but she was born here. And it's just, it was immigrants, and it was right. just making it through every day, getting food on the table. No one had time for that love stuff.
Well, I always write it off to you always hear stories about those people coming over and they were six and they only had 80 cents and they came over from Europe and they survived somehow in a new country where they didn't speak the language.
How
based
did they
on 80
do
cents.
That?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I don't know. If I can't get my MapQuest in my car to work, I just pull over to the side and cry. And they, you know, they came to a new country at six and then they sent for their parents. They earned money somehow. They had a shoeshine. They sold apples at a shoeshine shack, and they sent for their family to come over. Wow.
I was watching The Voice last night. I really love it, and they do these features of individual people. And there was this one young man whose parents came from the Philippines to the United States, and the contestant was recounting, you know, my parents came here because they wanted to give me a better life. Yeah. I was a baby and they left their family and pretty much all their possessions in the Philippines. They came here. My dad took a job as a dishwasher just to get the family, you know, settled and save some money. And then I look, they have a nice house. It's like, how did it go from moving here with no possessions and having no job dishwashing? I mean, it's just,
I can't figure it out. It's amazing.
It's the work ethic that these people wanted to come to this country and make their lives better. They worked their asses off for it.
There used to be a Zany's comedy club in Mount Prospect. And there was a guy there that was, he worked in the kitchen. And I always said hello to him. He was a very nice guy. I didn't know his story. I just knew he worked at Zany's in the kitchen. And one time between shows, I just started talking to him, and I said, well, I don't know. I hate myself for this. We say hello to each other, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know where you're from. He was from Bosnia. He told me the story. He was a doctor in Bosnia and then came here to the United States and couldn't practice medicine. It doesn't transfer over. So he was working in the kitchen to afford to bring his daughter over from Bosnia. He had an achievement. And I'm like, oh my God, that story is just.
Did you give him money?
So, no.
Did you let him operate on you?
Yeah. I had my appendix had burst at the time. So I said, I hate to bother you. Your story's great, but could you just put my appendix back in? It burst. And he did.
No, you take it out when it burst.
He cleaned it and put it back in.
Now that's good.
Because I had not cleaned. You're supposed to clean. I didn't know you were supposed to clean it. So he cleaned it and put it back in, and then he got me some calamari from the kitchen. It was delicious.
See, I joke about it because it just makes me realize that I haven't worked that hard ever in my life, nor will I.
Nope. I know that feeling.
And I mean, it's just amazing to me how these people can. Just survive on their own, let alone bring a family with them. I don't get it.
Right. I remember one Christmas, we were sitting around and my grandfather was telling a story about how my brother had just showed him that for Christmas he got a Korg synthesizer. It's like $1,200. My brother's showing him all the effects that the Korg synthesizer does. And then my grandfather told us that he'll never forget the year, it was the best Christmas ever, that he and his brothers each got a carrot. So I said to my brother, hey, get that synthesizer in here. Play a song underneath that story because that would make the story even better. But he was like tearing up. He's like, oh, we were so happy. We woke up and you could see something was in our stocking and we ran over and we each got our own carrot.
That's so sad.
I know. Well, he didn't look at he. To him, that
was a fond memory.
Oh,
but that's
remember the year that Santa brought us a carrot? That was great.
You see this saying going around on social media all the time. It's not what you have; it's the memories you have, or something along those lines. I'm totally misquoting it. But that's what it was like for them. They didn't have money, so it wasn't anything materialistic.
Right.
It was a feeling that they had.
Yes.
I got to find that quote because it's really kind of beautiful.
I know this is a strange transition, but it reminds me of this. There's a line in a commercial right now that is so idiotic and it makes me cry. Every single time that this line comes up in a commercial, I cry. It's a commercial for some place in the Caribbean. It's some hotel and it's a family and they're all at the hotel and they're having a great time and the mom's doing the voiceover. And then she says, this is how I always want to remember us. And I go, oh, because really when those moments happen, when you have that magical moment with your family or your friends,
you want it to never go away.
It's always stuck in your head. And you think about it the next week and the next month and the next year. And, you know, time just passes and you go, wow, it was 12 years ago that thing happened. But I don't know who wrote that line. And more embarrassingly, I don't know what the commercial is for. It's for a hotel in the Bahamas or something. But just the way she says it, because everything's great. They're just having a good time at the hotel and they're at the beach and the pool and they're eating food in a restaurant. And she goes, because this is the way I always want to remember us. And I go, oh, that's the essence of everything.
That
isn't
it?
You nailed it, whoever you were who wrote that line. That's perfect.
It's moments and memories, not materialistic things. And there's a Subaru commercial that does this for me. I swear to God, this is why I'm probably getting a Subaru, because of this commercial.
Of this?
I'm not kidding. It is a family, and they're talking about their life changes, and you want something to be the same all the time. So they show like a mom and dad with the older kids and a dog, but then they go back in time, and you see when the dog's a puppy, and the couple was just on their own.
Is this
pre-kids.
Where they're wearing football jerseys, and they're walking down a football field, and one of them just kind of gently pushes the other one and makes them stumble a little bit? Is that the one?
I think that's the one.
Yeah. And they start out really young, and then they're old. Their daughter's going off to college. She's getting in the car and driving off.
Oh, that's one, too. This is a new one that I hadn't seen before. It's like they're out on a camping trip or something, and the car is a little older, and the kids are probably, you know, in their 20s, and then it goes back, so you see the kids were toddlers getting in the same Subaru.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And then the old dog, the graying dog, is now a little puppy, and there are no kids. It's just the man and the woman.
Right.
That made
Very
me
effective.
Cry.
Yeah.
Because it's like that car's been in the family, and it's been through all these moments together, and buy a Subaru Outback.
Right. But don't you feel
I will.
Like when you start, when a
You're
line.
Crying in the, now.
Yeah.
It's just,
so emotional,
so
Kim.
Sweet.
It's so emotional. So don't you, like when that happens, because every time this commercial comes on, and I see it almost every night, I don't know how they patterned it, but it's whatever show I'm watching, that commercial shows up for the family in the Bahamas. And as that line's coming, I have to turn away because whoever's in the room is like, are you crying at this commercial for the hotel in the Bahamas? Yes.
Well, the sad thing is you don't even know what hotel it is.
I don't know what hotel it is.
So it's not
effective.
No,
because I'm all, by the time they show what the hotel is, I got tears in my eyes. Kim, have you seen that line? It ends with, because this is how I always want to remember us. The mom is saying that about the family. They're all enjoying their time in the Bahamas.
No, I just always remember it's better in the Bahamas.
Yeah, that's the old one. And it is. It is. All right, we must take a break. Kim will give you some news, and then there's more show, so stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Wouldn't you like to go to the Bahamas right now with your family and your little girls?
I'm packed. I'm ready to... Honestly, if there's a plane leaving,
I'm ready. Honestly, gosh, I cannot take this weather anymore.
Yeah.
I know. Bertrand ruined my day because he said blustery when we first got on the air.
He knows better than to
plug
stay
your
there.
Ears when you get to my forecast.
Crap. Crap a lama ding dong.
Yes.
I may mention the F word, too.
Oh, you can. Fahrenheit?
Flurries.
Oh, flurries. Right.
I'm okay with flurries. That doesn't bother me. Yeah. I am not
in
ready.
In March, though, already? I mean, it's like, come on.
End of the month, guys. And remember, there was one year we got a big blizzard in April.
Yeah. It's
very rare.
Right.
But it's about over.
Yeah.
So I'll take whatever it has.
Honestly, even though it's really cold.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell outside, like, things are turning. Like, the sky looks crisper.
Sure.
It just looks
It was light out at, like,
yes.
6 o'clock
and then
last
when we
night.
Flip, you know, this weekend.
Yeah,
That'll
baby.
Make a difference.
Yeah.
That'll warm us up.
That will.
Except I hate losing an hour's sleep.
I know, me too.
But the trade-off is...
I don't care.
You don't care?
I know,
it's
I don't
just
either.
Losing
Why
an hour's
sleep.
Why do we
even switch at all? It's just dumb.
There's been a debate that maybe it's time to give that up. I'd be okay with that.
I say give it up. Just keep it a daylight saving.
And half of Indiana does it and half of it doesn't. So, people survive by not doing it.
Sure.
Right. It's very confusing. Doesn't part of Arizona not switch,
too,
I think?
Yeah, that's the other one. Right.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong. It was either 5:30 or 6:30, but I think it was 6:30 and it was still light out. And if you remember this winter, 4 o'clock, pitch black.
Oh, black.
Right.
So I'm okay. It doesn't have to be light till 10 o'clock. I don't need that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be light later than light earlier, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not turning my clock back.
Nope. Don't do it.
I'm not giving up
we
that
don't
hour
have to
of
do
sleep.
That. That's
not doing
stupid.
It. So I might be late.
So when she's not here on Monday.
Would I be late or early? See, this is where I get confused. I'd be late.
You'd be an hour late.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like a legit excuse. I'd just say, don't worry, she's not playing by the rules of
I don't switch my clock.
The daylight savings time.
Yeah, but then I'd never catch up until we did the
switched
clock.
Again. Yeah. Right.
So it would take me half a year to be on time.
Oh. All right. You should do it then.
All right. All right, real briefly, we were talking about the Bahamas commercial. Bill mentioned that it made him cry.
I get very misty when I see it.
You're very sensitive about your family
and the Bahamas. The combination.
And when you put the two together.
I can't handle it. It's too much for me.
Hey, Bill, you shouldn't let those commercials upset you so much. Come on, why don't I take you out and I'll buy you a new dress?
I could use a new dress. All right.
What color do you like?
Fuchsia would be my color.
Pink was hot. Did you see the Oscars? Pink was hot.
Yeah, pink was a very popular color. And yellow, too, I remember. A lot of actresses wore the bright yellow.
It's something about, like, you know, life changes when you have a kid. And,
absolutely.
You know, better or worse, there are people that haven't had kids and won't have kids. You can still have a fantastic and rewarding life, but something weird triggers inside you when you have a kid. And especially when you start getting older, you want to give them happy moments in their life that they will remember.
Right.
Because you want, you know, that's just, you think back at your childhood. This damn This Is Us is making me feel like that, too.
Last night, oh, my God.
I'm telling you, going back to watching them as children, and it's like, you all of a sudden, because of these stupid television shows or commercials, you want to, what legacy will you leave for your kids? Don't you think about that now because of stupid shows
and
like
that?
Now
that I have a grandchild,
Even more.
Really interesting because you want to repeat the fun stuff, you know, because you want her to experience it's like vicariously living your children's life over again. And it's just,
but do you not want to do something like my mother-in-law? My mom had already passed away and my dad when my kids were born. So my mother-in-law was great. She would always say, you know, oh, I want to take them to the zoo. Is that okay? I don't want it to be the first time when I do it. I don't want to take that away from you. So as a grandparent, you don't want to step on your kids'
toes.
No,
absolutely not. And I want them to have the full, unbelievable, amazing experience. But you do kind of want to be part of it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Know. But you can't, like, you know, you can't get your feelings hurt either if they don't include you because it's their first time and it's their first experience and they need to experience that. But sometimes you're like, oh, I want to go or I want to see it. But, you know, you can't do it all.
My dad would find himself when my daughters were really young, he would find out when we were going to Florida and then he would just coincidentally also be in Florida.
Oh.
And I know, awe is one of the...
I know, but you want to be a family.
Yeah. But then, now that I'm getting older and my kids are older, I keep thinking when they get married and have kids, I need to be there.
Right.
How can I be there?
If they go to Disney World without me, it's going to be really hard.
Right. I know, I'm the same way.
But if I pay, then probably... let me go.
Right.
I'll never forget when Michael was born. Things become hobbies of mine. Like when I was pregnant, you know, you read that What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Sure.
So all of a sudden I immersed myself into finding everything I could. And I read somewhere that you don't want anyone else in the house when you bring the baby home for the first time. You want it to be a bonding moment for you and your significant other. And so, when we brought Michael home from the hospital, Jim's like, my mom has offered to come. Do you want? And I said, no, let's just try it out on our own. Little did I know that Jim must have called her 10 times going, when are you coming? When are you? We need help here.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, honey, I can come tomorrow. So she waited till the next day. And I admitted, I go, what in God's name were we thinking?
Yeah.
Cause we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
It's better to have
my mother-in-law came. I mean, my parents, you know, live nearby and my mother-in-law came for the week and it was
helped
amazing.
A bit. Yeah. I'm
it's
sure.
It's so hard to figure out what to do.
Sure.
And then Michael cried all the time. So I have these memories of Jim holding him, like cradling him and walking through our house going, this is the front room. That is the kitchen. Look at the clock, just to show him things to shut him up. He never stopped crying. And now it's funny because I brought that up the other day. I was saying, Dad used to carry you all over the place. And then Michael got like really sad. Like, I said, why are you upset? And he goes, because it sounds like a beautiful moment. Aww. And I'm like, well, you'll have more.
Oh, yeah.
But we won't really. Not like that.
No.
Not like that, but...
That's those precious moments, and I hate those stupid figurines. But I like, it is. It's a precious moment that you're never going to get back.
Right. And then, though, isn't it funny how you kind of change with the second when you're like, bring on the help. And then when you get the third one, it was like, oh, my God. Who wants who?
Right.
Just take them, please.
My mother-in-law said, I'm a little anal, I know. I had a list of like what to do with Michael the first time we left her with him. It was like, here's how much you feed him, here's how you do it. I left breast milk in the fridge, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, by the time your second one, Dylan, came, you forgot to say goodbye.
Right.
I noticed you and Jim left the house and... What do I do? Well, I'll figure it out.
Well, that's what we said. You know, the first time when you take a baby home from the hospital, you so delicately put them in the car seat. You drive home like 35 miles an hour. The second one, you go the speed limit. The third one, it's almost like, crank, you're in.
Yeah,
let's go. You know,
got to get home to the other two.
I swear, I always say my third son did not eat off of a plate for like the first 3 years of his life because he was always in a carpool or, you know, we were going somewhere else. He ate out of a Ziploc bag for like 4 years.
Wow. My parents made us a deal. Well, an offer, really. They said, we brought home the twins, and they go, how about we'll do this? on Friday nights, we'll come by and we'll take care of the girls from now on. And you guys can just go out and see a movie or have dinner.
Awesome.
We'll do that. Yeah, let's start doing that immediately. So what would happen then is they'd come by on a Friday. We'd spend a little bit of time. We'd be ready to leave. And they go, where are you guys going? And we would tell them what restaurant. They go, we love that restaurant.
Let's go.
So every week on Friday, they would come out, spend 10 minutes there at the house with us, and then we'd all go out and do stuff. And I'd always say, remember that original plan of you guys need a night out? Where did that go? Well, you guys eat in fun restaurants. We want to go with you guys. We want to all spend time together. So
still makes it a little easier.
The intention was good. Yeah. The intention was really
all
good.
Right. It's funny hearing you say this because you are going to be them. You're going to do the same thing.
I know I'll do the same thing. There's no doubt about that.
So how can you fault them? They taught you, Bill.
They did. Yeah, I know.
And family matters, you know?
I know.
I always have the more the merrier kind of theme going in our house because we always have lots of people, which I love. But there are those times where you do just want to be your
the four
own family
or five
unit,
of
right?
you. Right, yes. right. Yeah. I know. On Monday, I forgot to tell you this. Right before we went on the air on Monday, Mark Harmon was in for Dave Ennett. And Mark and I were talking about his upcoming wedding. You know, he's getting married.
Yes, he's still getting married? Yes.
Yeah, he's still getting married. You always seem shocked by that.
I'm going to ask him every time.
Why are you shocked by that?
Because it's just, I like to bug him. I know he's going to get
married. He's such a nice guy.
He's such a good guy. He's such a sweetheart.
I am so happy he's happy and found someone.
So happy for him.
But I just like to blow him crap a lot.
But you know what? I shouldn't say this without him here to either defend it or talk about it himself.
See if he's on the phone.
But as he was approaching a certain age, he would say very honestly, you start to wonder if it's ever going to happen.
Right.
And I know it's like that for girls, too. Maybe more for girls. I don't know. But you do. At a certain age, if you're not married, you just go, maybe it's just not in the cards for me.
Right. And children. You know,
right.
But guys, that's not for everyone.
No, it's not.
And there are single people I know and married people.
You know, he wanted it.
I knew that. That's why I said that about Mark, because I know he wants kids.
Because, you know, seriously, I just know people that are married and just don't want kids.
Right. Right.
How can you fault them?
Right. I mean, you can't.
And there are people that never got married, and you don't need someone else to make your life happy. For some of us, that's what we want.
Right. True.
So I just want to put a disclaimer in there.
No, you're right. True. It's not for everyone.
So we're talking about his upcoming wedding and the reception, and he was throwing out around some ideas and some costs and stuff. And he and I have discussed this
in
the past.
You're like two girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I need that new dress, Wendy. So
it's for Carmen's wedding.
Right. I want to look nice. I'm hoping he'll ask me to be a bridesmaid. I don't know yet. So I said to him, I was talking about Harry Tynowitz's wedding, right? And I stood up to that wedding. So I said, one day at a Cubs game, we were sitting there, and Harry is a huge sports fanatic.
Yes, he is.
And as one of the guys came by and brought a beer, and then another guy came by and brought a hot dog, and another guy came by and brought nachos or whatever. I said, you know, at your wedding, it'd be really funny if you got these vendors from Wrigley Field to work your wedding so that, like, at the beginning, at the reception, those guys are around.
That's awesome.
With a thing of hot dogs or a thing
idea.
Of Budweiser and stuff. And he laughed, and he goes, who would you have do it? So there was this guy at Wrigley for years and years and years, a guy named William, who is the most fit guy I've ever seen in my life. He had muscles on top of muscles. He was just this giant Adonis of a guy, and he'd walk around whatever he was vending, usually beer, and he was just gigantic. And I go, get William, talk to William, get him in this. And we're laughing about it and joking about it. Cut to Harry's wedding, where William and a bunch of other Wrigley Field vendors are doing exactly what I said as a
joke. Seriously?
He legitimately did it, yeah. So I tell Mark the story.
I bet everybody loved it.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I tell Mark this story, and he's not like the look that you guys had was, oh, that's cool. It came to fruition. He's like looking sad, and I go, don't you think that's kind of funny? He goes, you know, William died. He had died less than a year ago. I had seen this guy at every Cubs game I had ever been to in my life.
How old was William?
Oh, God. He's probably maybe 60.
Oh, so he wasn't old.
Young.
No, not old. But like I said, in the best shape of any human being I've ever seen in my life. Just perfectly chiseled looks. Everything about him. Healthy, healthy, healthy. I don't know the circumstances of his death. All I knew was right before we went on air, Mark told me that this guy that I had seen 50 times in my life and talked to, every time he'd come by, I'd say hello to him. We'd spend a couple minutes. Yeah, I had no idea. Isn't that sad? That's so sad.
That is really sad.
Yeah. So the moral is, do not be healthy. It doesn't pay off.
No, I thought Carmen didn't want that at his wedding. I thought you were going to be sad because he didn't want the vendors.
He doesn't want to do that because Harry did that. He wants something like that.
Well, he should have Benny the Bull because Mark loves the bulls. I actually went to a wedding here in Chicago years ago and Benny the Bull was there and it was a lot of fun.
What does Benny the Bull do at a wedding?
Let's ask Mark Carmen.
Oh, Mark Carmen's here. Mark, hi.
We're planning your wedding.
Bill.
We're almost done.
Kim's here, too.
What do you got?
Well, we think Benny the Bull should come.
I totally agree.
Okay, good.
I don't. I'll be the voice of reason.
Mark, I told them the story that you shared with me on Monday that William, the great vendor from Wrigley, and I don't know, did he do White Sox games, too?
Of course.
He did do White Sox games, also?
I always saw him at Wrigley. White Sox, Bears, Bulls, Cubs, Blackhawks, all of them.
And then we just learned that he died less than a year ago, right?
William Dennis, he passed away, I think, in December. I call him a Chicago icon.
Yes, yes. The strongest man I've ever talked to in my life.
Well, you don't take yourself out of the equation.
Well, other than myself, I meant.
All right, so Bill ended on a very sad note, and I'm very sorry for William and his family.
Yes.
But I think the thing was, he was trying to talk to you about, you know, Harry had the vendors at his wedding. You want to do something like that, but different. Have you come up with anything yet?
We'll see, Wendy.
Are you still getting married?
I'm trying to focus on the basics here.
Getting to the mascot, that seems like, you know, 10 steps down the road here. We're battling out a venue. I mean, this is not time for this now. Right. I mean, I'd like to tell you that. I mean, listen, I would love to have Clark the Cub and Southpaw there. If we could
Wouldn't that be nice?
Let's go north.
Well,
side,
don't forget
side.
Tommy Hawk. I mean, if Tommy you're going, Hawk you got to go there. All the way.
Good point, Kim. Excellent. Tommy Hawk.
They could all sit at the same table. They get along.
Guys, this is a wedding. This isn't a,
it's a bar mitzvah now.
I mean, listen, and Willie the Wildcat is near and dear to my heart as well, so there's that.
Yep.
Ronnie Woo Woo.
Right. I mean,
Ribby and Rhubarb?
Ronnie Woo Woo actually sounds like a great idea.
Oh, my God.
Have him do the ceremony. He could perform the ceremony.
Do the bow-wows.
Well, you know, we're considering Friday night ceremonies, which is very hard to get a rabbi to do that on Friday night because it's Shabbat. So maybe we got to think outside the box, and Woo Woo should be the guy.
Guaranteed great field.
You can get ordained on the internet.
Do a Friday night Elvis night wedding.
Ah, oh, Mark.
That's good. That's really good.
That's pretty good. You get the game, you get the ceremony, you get a corn dog, all for one low price.
Bill, we'll even get you a funnel cake.
I can get you a funnel cake.
I mean, if we had Woo Woo, don't you think that people would perhaps give better gifts and I'll benefit by, you know.
Oh, yes.
Just
no, I think people wouldn't come.
You get it back.
Oh.
What does your fiance think about mascots and such?
I mean, she's just so easygoing.
You haven't asked her yet, have you?
Well, wait, but you can't decide on a venue, so it's not that easygoing.
Yeah, no, I there was tongue firmly planted in cheek there. I think she would go for none of this.
Yeah.
Everything's a negotiation. We're working on identifying our values, orienting to those, and the vision of the beautiful couple coming together and letting the wedding organically just emerge from there.
Yep.
I married...
Do you, woo, Mark, woo, take Chelsea, woo, to be your lawfully, woo, wedded, woo, wife, woo. It's going to be good.
My wedding was very traditional, and I married a Star Wars fan who I was telling Bill the other day, I'm shocked there was no Star Wars anything. But you could do something like subtle, like maybe a White Sox or Blackhawks garter on the bride, maybe a pocket square for you or something. It doesn't have to, you know, overshadow.
Over top,
yeah.
Right.
These are great thoughts, too. I was thinking about leaving the sports behind, but, you know, now that you guys are painting this picture, you do have to orient, or you should orient what's important in life.
Yes.
And sports is the most important thing.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So if I could have Bill actually playing ping pong in the corner all night long,
I'll do that. Mark, when we got married, everybody said, you don't want your groomsmen to dress like Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Fruit Brute, and boy, were they wrong. People remember that to this day.
you got to go outside the box here. I mean, you want to be remembered.
Huh? Yes.
Do I want to be remembered for the chicken and a mixed green salad or something?
No one remembers that.
Right.
No one remembers that.
Just remember, keep it all in perspective. It's just a party. What happens moment after, the day after, is what's most important.
Well, the rest of your life after.
That's what I'm saying. Starting that day.
Well, Mark, we were thinking about you. We were talking about you, and we can't wait for the wedding. And CLTV said, yes, they are going to air it live. So that's going to be fun.
This was very helpful. Thank you so much, guys.
That's why we're here.
Thank you, Mark. Bye, Mark.
Okay, guys.
Take care.
Mark Carman, love him.
Yep.
He's a good guy.
The best.
I'm glad he's going to be happy.
It's good. Yeah. Well, he's already happy. This will make him happier.
Yes.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah. He will live happily ever after.
Yes. That's a guarantee.
Well, that's what the hopes are.
That's
for everybody.
Right. Kim, thank you for hanging out. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll close things off in just a moment or two. Stick around. It's Bill Leffert's 20 Center, and it's WGN.
Be kind to one another. That's my Ash Wednesday message.
So, not just for today, though. For the rest of time.
For 40 days and 40 nights.
For 40 days and 40 nights, you should be kind to each other.
And then hopefully it'll become a habit.
By the time May rolls around, you don't have to continue that nonsense, do you?
I'm going to try. You know, sometimes, what do they say? You have to do something for 6 weeks for it to be a habit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it was 6 weeks.
Oh, all right.
So 40 days is 8 work weeks. Like,
yeah, all right.
8 business days.
So
weeks.
When does that stop? Because I want to.
I don't know when
put
Easter
in my
Sunday
calendar
is.
When
April
I don't
20th.
Have to continue being nice to people. I'll give it 40 days, but then I can't do it all year round, Wendy.
All right.
It's just too much. You're asking too much.
Your choice.
I want to be nice, and I will for 40 days. So 40 days and then the same 40 nights or a different 40 nights?
A different.
So a total of 80 days.
No. The same ones. 40 days, 40 nights.
The same 40 days and 40 nights. In the Bible, that was a thing. Biblically, if you were going to do something, it was always 40 days and 40 nights.
Do something for 40 days, it becomes a habit.
That's not. Is that in the Bible? That's
no,
not in the
it
Bible.
Should be.
Nope. That'll be a fun game we can play at some point. Is it in the Bible or not? And we'll just say things and we'll go, I don't think that was in the Bible. Was it?
Happy Ash Wednesday.
Happy Ash Wednesday, everybody. Go out and make it the best Ash Wednesday ever. Tomorrow, Ash Thursday. That'll be fun. Post Ash Thursday.
Turn your back on evil, people.
Turn your back on evil. Bye, Wendy.
See ya.